We're live. Hey, Gut Thrivers. How are you? Tell us what's new and good. Sorry, I'm 2 minutes late. I had some technical difficulties with my mic. So glad to be here with you now. We have the wonderful Jack Tips should be joining us any moment now. Give me 1 second to just check, make sure he is able to get in. Is that you, Jeff?
Hello, hello, and good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are
That is here in Texas anyway. We're just a step ahead.
you're 1 hour ahead. Yes, you beat us to the afternoon. Are you joining us on camera or not today?
Well, now I'm in the room. I went to the control panel.
Okay.
Let's see what's going on here.
We got you. Oh, there you are. There's your beautiful face. Hey,
All right.
great to see you. Oh, glad to be here. Everybody's just starting to get on now. We only have seven Gut Thrivers on, but we are so glad. These are really wonderful because they're nice and they're intimate. We get to answer everyone's questions. And Nicole, who is our lead clinician, is posting questions from people who are unable to attend. Do you see that there, Jack, in the chat?
I have chat enabled
Okay.
and
See it? If not, I'll read them to
Nicole has written in a couple of things there. We all on
you. Yeah.
the same page?
We're on the same page. We're good. All right,
All right.
before we dive into some questions, I just want to say hi, how are you, and what's going on lately in your clinical practice?
Hey, staying busy. Lots of people with GI tract complaints, but so many people getting over GI tract complaints, and then always getting the feeds of science. And just this last week, there was a very important research study that says the gut microbiome is all about preventing cancer from taking residence, not only in the GI tract, but throughout the body. So the message for whether someone is healthy in the gut or thinks they are, or whether they have symptoms, I think we all today need to look at improving our GI tracts if we've been drinking, chlorinated, fluoridated water, eating commercial food with hormones and herbicides and things like that. It's really a time to focus on rejuvenating the core because the research is just stacking up how important this gut thrive work is.
It's so incredibly important, and especially in today's day and age. I'm gonna make a note here to see if we can do some follow-up studies in our email about that, because cancer is running rampant. I was just with an old friend, who's my age, has the BRCA gene, had breast cancer, and is thankfully overcoming it. But I tried to tell her in the beginning, she was put on a proton pump inhibitor. And it's like, right, could you say that when you start doing this with the GI tract, that's you're gonna start to flip the genes on, and then epigenetics is not gonna work in our
Well,
favor?
yeah, the we need to be cautious about things that reduce rather than cure the stomach hydrochloric acid and pepsin output. There's also a latest study, I think it was posted this week, and gosh, we're only at Tuesday, that now there's a link between PPIs and stomach cancer. So when we start interfering with the body's natural processes rather than correcting the cause, inevitably there's concern. And so we're really looking at what's going on with the stomach that may have either caused hydrochloric acid production, which is 90% of the painful acid reflux, or I'm going to say 10% to the hyperactive process, which we often can see in people who've been smokers of tobacco, that it can get the stomach secreting acids too aggressively. And so we have to look at lifestyle and go for correction rather than suppression. And then a person can live healthy and happy. So,
yeah, I'm totally with you. I feel like for those of you listening, whether you're watching on the replay or you're live now, a gut reset once a year is kind of crucial for all of us. It doesn't have to be the full 11-week Gut Thrive program. You can do the 4-day amended bone broth fast, and you can just eat according to the Gut Thrive principles, maybe do an amended supplement program. But this is so advantageous to do that, especially if you've been letting it slip and slide the last 6 months based upon the world situation.
Sure is. It really ought to go on the calendar. I mean, mm-hmm. we look at the last, I'm going to go back in through Ayurvedic medicine, biblical medicine, any of the traditional histories of medicine. They're always talking about fasting and cleansing and giving the GI tract and digestive processes a reset mm-hmm. or a break. And that really needs to be part of our natural health lifestyle.
Yes, I am with you.
And I'm a little overdue myself, so.
I am too. I'm glad you said that. I'm doing one at the end of the month. Yeah.
I'm talking to the mirror.
Yeah, well, we all are talking. We all have to walk our talk, and we're busy and all of that. And before you know it, it's been a year before you've done a cleanse, right? And so, yeah, so we'll all hold each other accountable.
Well, I'm on September 20th, so you can hold me accountable.
September 20th, you're doing one? Yeah. Oh, good. I love it. Great.
But I've got to clear the septuagenarian birthday and maybe a treat or two. And then, got to get tough with it.
When is your 70th birthday?
Holy cow. I go, what's with that?
That's not possible. You look like you're 50 and I'm so proud. See how much this work works? Wow. Yeah. So when your birthday's coming up in the next week or so? Oh, Jack, I didn't know that. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'll find out more details. I want to celebrate you. You should be celebrated, well celebrated. Let's jump into some of these questions that have come in from Iva, who wasn't able to attend. She did Gut Thrive earlier this year. She felt amazing after doing it. Best thing I've ever done for my health. Couple things that have crept back in the last couple of months has been some gas and joint pain. Joint pain was really what I was looking to heal with Gut Thrive. Autoimmune runs strong in my family, including arthritis. And so my guess is I have arthritis going on. What would you recommend doing for the joint pain? I'll let you start and I'll add if you like.
I want to address this with something that can be powerfully rejuvenative in the gut and maintain a healthy gut microbiome. So I've already had some marvelous benefits and is now looking at maintaining, and then something that could be done specific for joint pain. And because here we're walking a tightrope between perhaps a person being recommended something called an NSAID type non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, which is rather devastating to the gut microbiome. And that type of a therapy. So I'm going to go to one plant, and I bet it's in a lot of people's gardens, and I bet it's in a lot of people's homes as an ornamental plant. And it's certainly in probably a lot of people's products. And this plant dates back 6,000 years into the Gilgamesh rock carvings, and then Pliny the Elder and Alexander the Great, and everybody that has the word "the" in their as their middle name has touted this herb. It's two words, and it's called aloe vera. And there's three parts to that plant, and the outer skin, the inner, what's called latex, which is a yellowish gel, and then the juicy middle gel. And here's a little trick for the arthritis. One, you take your aloe juice internally, like an ounce, two or three times a day. And this just is chock-a-block full of nutrients, and it has a form of aspirin in it that's better than aspirin. It's the salicylic acid. And but here's a little trick. If you really want to do a little biohack on this, you get something called DMSO. And this is an old print shop chemical where printers discovered that their joints quit hurting when they got wet with this solvent. And now the FDA has approved DMSO for chronic bladder pain. So this is something that's normally found in wood or wood pulp, and it is a solvent, but you can get a little liquid or even a topical cream or gel of DMSO, which stands for dimethyl, sulfate, dimethyl sulfate, I think, which you can understand. We need the methylation and we need the sulfate, but you mix it with some aloe, and we're going to use the DMSO as a penetrant, and the aloe is going to bring the aspirin and the healing agents and all of these nutrients and this wonderful, what's called ACE mannan, this wonderful anti-inflammatory polysaccharide, and you rub that on the joints. And so you really could rally around the humble aloe vera plant and have a lot of support for the gut to thrive as well as the arthritis symptoms.
So where can you get DMSO?
Oh, it's on Amazon and okay. Lots of places. Yeah.
Do you have a recommended brand that you trust that's high quality and manufactured ethically?
I don't have one to pull out of the hat right now, but I could do a little secret search here while you
I'm chatting.
Visit with people.
Okay.
I can pick one. You know, it lasts so long. I think the DMSO that I have in the medicine cabinet has been there for 10 years, and it is a paste or a gel, and it just turns to liquid when it gets to body heat. Mm-hmm. And you can rub it on anything that's sore. We often more think of it as a penetrating agent, and it penetrates beautifully, and it'll actually alter, it penetrates because you put it on your hand or your knee, and some of it comes out your breath. So be careful breathing on people, but the relief is very noteworthy from the combined aloe and DMSO.
That's excellent. Okay, last question on that is the whole leaf aloe or inner leaf?
Just the inner here for inner. People. The whole leaf will have, they just throw the whole plant in the hopper. And so you get some of the powerful inner latex, which can cause some side effects or rashing in very few people. Okay. And it can be a little overly medicinal. So I say the inner lining of the inner leaf, save that for an herbalist recommendation. And the same for anything that uses the outer leaf, which is made by nature to protect that plant from insect and animal predation. So it's really got the powerful go away, leave me alone,
right,
molecules in there. But that inner gel is safe and effective. And often if a person wants to and they have their own plant growing, as well they should, in the kitchen or by the back door, you can fillet the leaf in half lengthways, a little segment, and just leave the skin on. And then you can pop that on the skin or a fever blister or a sty or whatever you're going after. And that's safe and effective too. But it's good to realize there's three herbal parts according to Ayurvedic medicine, and each one is a little bit stronger, but that inner gel has all the nutrients and that we want.
And that's available, guys, at any of your local health food stores. I like Lily of the Desert, the inner leaf.
It's organic.
It's organic, yeah. And Nicole, can you do me a favor and post a link to our Food as Medicine TV show on pain and inflammation? And then we've got another whole host of other things that you can do to add to Jack's wonderful recommendations. And we'll include that link in the email follow-up. Okay, Jimmy. Unable to attend when I started Gut Thrive, my body was at a point where carb restrictions stopped working altogether for weight management. Okay, your adrenals and thyroid waved their white flag, and I couldn't tolerate more than a tablespoon of any type of starch. What kind of microbes could I have been dealing with, and how can I tackle them in the future? I know I likely have a case of SIBO, but I've never heard anything about it affecting ketosis before. What say you, Dr. Tips?
The family of species called Firmicutes, F-E-R-M-I-C-U-T-E-S, can convert a lot of sugar. So on a keto diet where a person might be having a little bit of salad or some resistant starch foods or, really keeping it low, they still may get a wallop in a SIBO case if the Firmicutes are elevated. But beyond that, I'm more concerned here about the cellular metabolic processes. The tolerating of starch, I'm not sure what's being referred to here, if it's kicking him out of the ketogenesis, or if it's upsetting and bloating the gut. But we could say right now in a restricted case, the gut's looking for sugars, let's say, to support their colonies. And so maybe even a little bit at that point would cause proliferation and or ringing the bell on maybe gas and bloating and so forth. But so I think there is a dotted line connection between SIBO and ketogenesis. There's other factors to look at. So if looking at strictly the gut, we need to look at the, let's say, the genes of the person. Some people are more adapted to keto than others. And we would also want to look at the cellular metabolics that the cells really are converting to the burning of fat and can run on fat. And then there should be better mitochondrial flexibility so that the little bit of starch is not having such a sensitive impact. So it's going to take a little more thought than just this information can share, but that would be the avenues to research or to look into to get that solved.
Okay. Yeah. And I would love to know what's going on with your nervous system, Jimmy, and have you run a comprehensive thyroid panel, look at your cortisol. Let's take a look at the hormones there and see what's going on, especially if you've been trying to do ketosis for a long time. Your body just maybe forgot how to metabolize carbs as well. Okay, Vanessa. All right, no problem for long ones. That's what these webinars are for. We got time. All right, I just have titrated off the Neurosin and the Calm. For those of you who don't know what that is, those help reestablish the gut-brain, brain-gut connection in step 3 of Gut Thrive. Having completed my treatment, I'm having real issues with withdrawal symptoms. I'm feeling really depressed, acute anxiety, even panicky. I've got headaches, can't go to sleep, can't stay asleep. Time also seems to be going really slowly, which is bizarre. I titrated on Neurosin and Calm quite slowly, but when it came to titrating off, I didn't have many left. And not only did I not want to buy more just to use a few, I am not working and couldn't afford it anyway. So I titrated off more quickly than I would have liked. Do you have suggestions for what I can do to help myself during this time? How long do you think I will feel like this? Did I cause harm in titrating too quickly? Yes, she doesn't want to lapse into depression. Jack, I mean, I kind of feel like if I had to do like a quick fix, I would say you need to get on Moores and stay on that. You can't do two supplements, but I would love to hear your thoughts on too quick of titration. I mean, maybe the process is not complete.
That was my first thought, Krista, that despite the financial constraints, it seems like another round is warranted depending on how well it worked. So if it, we might say with depression threatening and you had to choose one, the Calm would be the formula to see about affording. And then get that stability. You know, we'd never want to hear of a person staying in a depression because that affects every body system.
Is necessary. There is. Oh, there you are. I'm sorry, Jack, you froze. You froze when you said I was having the same thoughts. Your internet froze. So,
well, darn, I was having
that. That was your most brilliant moment, right?
Well, darn, and I forgot. It was the meaning of life. I had it all figured out.
Jack's actually written books about the meaning of life, too. I've read them. He's proliferate. Sorry, I need you to repeat that.
The salient points were choose calm over neurosin at this point. We don't like to hear about depression because it affects every system of the body. And if you are on this, restricted budget right now, get some calm based on if it worked well the first time. You need that support just a little bit longer to afford your neurotransmitters time to make a positive shift for yourself. So generally, if a person gets, I think this person might be also departing from maybe using something else to control depression. I'm trying to read between the lines, but then there's the issue of rebound and needing support during the week or so that things need to reset.
Yeah, things definitely need to reset. She also added here another side effect of the neurosupplements is looser stool, which hasn't gone away. Any ideas? I've got bizarre symptoms since taking them. I'm more light sensitive and need to squint even indoors when looking at screens progressively throughout the day. Can get blurry too. I'm about to start the Recode again. So this is new information. She's going to do the adrenal Recode. Obviously, so much of this is neurologically, nervous system, brain, driven. So I think just doing the Recode and being committed to the Recode and adding in your calm, or, you know, and you may need some PharmaGABA as well. And we see where that reset goes. I think it's normal to have interim loose stools when you are doing a brain gut brain reconnection or neuroactivation techniques. However, everybody has to be careful. The problem what we do is when I've had people do, and I'm sure you've gotten this too, Jack, like a serotonin protocol, or whenever you're working with the neurotransmitters in the brain and we feel okay, we think, oh, I feel okay. I don't need this anymore. And it's a grave mistake. And I've made it myself too. If I can skip a few days, but the brain, especially, so sensitive that the titration has to go so slow. Otherwise you get this big drop and you feel it and the symptoms are worse, and it's just too much for the system all at once to just have it and then take it away. Do you have anything to say about squinting indoors? I mean, I feel that that's being light sensitive is a sign of adrenal dysfunction.
Well, again, I'm wondering if something else was removed,
right?
And that's put her into transition, and then as the brain starts reconnecting, there's not the normal barrier, which is from phospholipids like phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylcholine, mm-hmm. and the omega-3s, and that there's this hypersensitivity to light. And maybe, you know, we could see that there's also sensitivity to sound, but this is something typical of a person in transition from something. It was probably first seen with nicotine as people stopped the stimulus barrier, nicotine, by quitting smoking. They would go through a time until the neurotransmitters get back to the proper sensitivity. I just want to encourage Vanessa here to say this sure sounds transitional, and what we want to be sure is that you don't drop into any throes of depression, that you're able to boost your mood more. And there may be things, hey, let's go back to the aloe comment. It also has mood and cognition enhancement. So if you've got a big old aloe vera growing at the back door, that now is an ongoing theme. But there's things that help can help give you a bit of a boost. And the concern of, any residual issues. I think she's in transition and life's going to be well, the light will be less bright, but life will be brighter in just a few days. It would be great to hear back from Vanessa and know that she's moving forward in just a few days. Just so I'll keep entertaining people, it's showing here in the software that Krista's left the room, and I bet she hadn't left the room, but I bet there's a technical glitch. So I'm going to look at Christy's question. There's something that says private by it, so maybe I wasn't supposed to mention the name, and forgive me if it did. But we're looking at the subject of leaky gut, leaky brain. And in this healing process, the molecule that opens the leaky brain, of course, is the zonulin from the gut. But we also have an issue with what's called lipopolysaccharides from gram-negative bacteria. So if you've been marching through the Gut Thrive program, then you're getting rid of the amount of lipopolysaccharides. This is what's called an exotoxin from gram-negative bacteria. So this is the big inflammatory molecule. It gets zonulin to open the gut-brain barrier. And so as you work with the gut, now you're saying, well, when do I see the payoff on leaky gut, leaky brain, and this communication? And the as long as the gut is making forward progress, I'd like to know that within a couple of weeks, depending on where you are in the process. Also, for her to realize that the OCD pattern is well established, and it's then a knee-jerk pathway of a hyperactivity of some of the neurotransmitters. So the brain and the gut communication are going to need, I'm going to put anywhere between like 4 weeks and maybe 12 weeks to really get retooled, depending on how many other factors are at play. In the most simplistic approach, it should happen pretty quick. So hopefully that's a note of encouragement as she goes through the process.
Excellent. Sorry for my absence. Thank you for answering that. My internet went out, and so now I don't have access to the chat that was there before. So
I told a few stories about you, but
I'll have to watch the replay, huh? Do you still see, or do you still see all the chat that was there before I got kicked off?
I'll read it, and then I'll tell you what, let's flip roles. I'll read and you can come in. Aaron says, I need to get my gut in shape. Went through a few weeks of reflux that woke me up. I seem to get more acid with GI support and soothe cap, and even tried just one cap, still had acid, though not as much. Went back to drinking celery juice first thing in the morning and CCFT, and I feel better.
Great.
Amended the GI program. Sounds like a great idea. Are steps available?
Are steps available? I think what you're doing CCFT. What I want you to do, CCFT and what else? Celery juice. So celery juice is great for optimizing HCL. Do you like to use it for that, Jack?
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. So Aaron, I would continue to do celery juice. I would go no supplements. And so our GI support and soothe has slippery elm and marshmallow root. And that's not the right tool. Obviously now your body is giving you that feedback. And I love the idea of using food as your medicine and starting your day with celery juice and having a CCFT. If you're going to take a supplement, maybe some Trifala at night. And then I would try to have 32 ounces of broth spread out throughout the day and put one scoop of collagen in not more to not exceed three scoops a day, and a little bit of ghee and coconut oil, and then have your steamed vegetables and white fish, and you know, throughout the day, and just let's try to do a cleanse like that. For 1 week, you can make the cilantro oregano pesto and just use the food as medicine. And now we're really working to rejuvenate the gut and to do a nice gut reset. I would definitely add in avocado, and I would definitely add in beets, like one cup of beets a day. That kind of help the liver and gallbladder's role in digestion. In terms of food and your good quality salts, and if you are brave enough to make liver, I would have that. I would have 4 ounces of that like every other day throughout this week to help as well. And we've got a recipe in the Gut Thrive recipes called Mary's Banging Liver. And even for people who don't like liver, including children, this is the only liver recipe I like. So if you're not a liver person, maybe give it a go with this. And if you still don't like it, then maybe you could take the Radiant Life liver capsules. But I feel like that is a really good gut reset. Maybe adding in some of the medicinal mushrooms at night, like a reishi tea or something like that, could be helpful. And what kind of feedback do you have for that, Jack? To kind of
covered it about as good as it gets. So
okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's time. You're doing a cleanse next week. I'm going to do one the last weekend of the month so I can prepare for it. And once I put mine together, I'm going to share it. I'm thinking of doing an Ayurvedic cleanse. I don't know if you guys know what Ayurveda is. It's the kind of Indian science of life where you're looking at your dosha or your constitution, and then you can further customize whether you're vata, pitta, kapha, which is you're driven by the element of air or water or fire, and you amend your food differently. So that's something I'm going to be working on, and at the very latest, I'll be able to talk to you about it at the next quarterly webinar. But hopefully I can keep track of it all and send it out via email.
All right. Erin says, happy birthday, Jack. And she says, I don't act my age. So not moving right
you
along.
You don't. You're amazing.
Karen says she finished Gut Thrive in August, had no problem taking Terra Flora. After the program, she started to take the probiotic 50B, and that when she takes it, she's getting some bloating and wants to know any suggestions on what she should do.
Yes. Okay. Say that again. A probiotic.
Can you 50B seems to be causing bloating.
Okay. And what phase? It's so funny. Like when you can't see it, you know,
she finished Gut Thrive in August, but now is getting bloating.
Gotcha. Okay. So Nicole, please post a link to our soil-based probiotic. You should stop the probiotic 50B, and I would say no probiotics for 7 days, and then start off with like one capsule every other day of soil-based probiotic and see how you go. And then if you get no bloating or gas, then work up to having one a day until the bottle's finished. And then, try to terraform, and then you can add back the probiotic 50B a few months after that. What would you do in that case?
I would need to look at the species, but I am familiar with probiotic 50B. And for some reason, if a probiotic is kicking out a little bloating, and we're fairly certain there's not a remnant SIBO issue, it's often usually just the case of lowering the dose, particularly if you have a veggie cap or willing just to pour half of it out. You might want to go down and see what your low dose is that doesn't bother you. Because a lot of these, it's either probiotic 50B is just the perfect one and it's forcing some changes to your benefit, or it's too much or not quite right. So a way to find out is to take it down by maybe 2/3 and try a little bit. And if you can run on that, usually a week later, you can do a half and then a whole, and that product is, you know, becomes one of your best friends. So it may just be a little bit of just a glitch involved with supplementation.
Yep. Okay. And the next question I see now, one from Jelena. Do you have, am I missing any ones before that?
Well, Vanessa wrote in a few times and okay. Just gave further comments, but the last one says she's going to keep you posted and thank you. So go ahead and let's start with Jelena.
Jelena. Okay. I'm so glad you asked this question because I was like internally shaking my head when I read it. I'm confused about the 80-20 balance. Does that mean I should eat healthy and organic 5 days a week and then the weekend I eat junk food? LOL. No. Or does it mean do 80-20 every day, like a healthy breakfast and a healthy lunch and then eat junk for dinner? Also, no. So I'm so glad that you asked that question. The thing it is like navigating a labyrinth to eat healthy in today's world. And so I'm going to give you an example of my own personal 80-20. Okay. And so I feel that coffee should still be high quality and it should be organic, and alcohol, wine, should still be organic and high quality and biodynamic. I feel those are part of the 20%. I feel if you're going to have high quality gluten, like for me, I'll do a fermented sourdough. That's still part of my 20%. Any type of sugars or desserts, still part of your 20%, but I still want it to be healthy. And if you're going to go out to dinner, I mean, you're definitely going to sacrifice something, right? Even if you're at a healthy organic restaurant, they're probably going to be using poor quality oils, canola or soy oil. It's in your 20%. So that's kind of what I mean, is like try to keep the tenets of Gut Thrive. I mean, you can add more carbs after Gut Thrive, more roots and more fruits and all of that. But I don't want you eating junk per se. So what I want to hear from you, like, but also snacks, right? Like sometimes I want popcorn and I want pretzels, or I have a toddler and he's eating snacks like that. So I'll eat them, but it's organic popcorn done in coconut oil with Himalayan pink salt. Still part of my 20%. You got me? Cauliflower pretzels or cassava pretzels. Still part of my 20%. So I want to hear for you, like, you know, what are the things that you're craving? And so if you consider it healthy junk food and you want a snack at night watching the movie, that's part of your 20%. It should be something you do every night. So I'll let you kind of type in more. Jack, do you have any other feedback for the living 80-20?
We could establish a precedent that the 80-20 is per day. You can't save up your 20% coupons toward the end of the month and then have a 3-day pig out fest. We're looking at the body's innate law that it's made to handle a little junk. You know, like if thinking hunter gatherers, it means that you're getting some dirt in your rutabaga or something like that, you know, that you're going to get things, or maybe if it's lean times for hunter gatherers, you might be eating, you know, an old squirrel or something. And so that's really the 80-20 is you want to make sure each day you're 80% on the plus side with your organic vegetables, and your 20% allowance is just a little, you know, the cup of coffee is a good example, Krista, of walking on the wild side. I think, Christy, what I really want to say to you is the desire for the junk food. I'm sorry, Jelena. I jumped ahead. Jelena, I want to say that the desire for junk food will gradually decline. Don't beat yourself up about it. Anyone in their right mind could crave a crunchy chip, or I've yet to find a gluten-free organic pizza crust that is much better than cardboard. But so you're going to have some allowances for yourself. But know this, that as you do exercise a little bit of willpower, and play games that maybe you have a half a stalk of celery before you eat the Toll House cookie.
No Toll House cookies.
What?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm talking the transition. It'll get, if you do that willpower, the craving will be less and less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over time. And so there's light at the end of the tunnel. Don't beat yourself up, but you don't get to save up for a weekend of beer and pretzels.
No, because then you lost the plot. You know, if you do that, you really have lost the plot because you create nutrient deficiencies. And now what could have been a supportive craving becomes destructive cravings. And we go down this whole cycle. And so I like what you said, Jack. I mean, I don't want you guys eating Toll House cookies, but I get it. It's like under the radar nutrition. So I know, like, I'll tell you, for example, my girlfriends were out here from New Jersey over the weekend and I knew I was going to have a couple glasses of wine. And so I took a B complex before that and I had a green drink and I laid down my alkaline base and I put the B vitamins in that I knew would get depleted and took a probiotic before I went to bed. So it's under the radar nutrition so that you can still stay balanced and you don't go towards, that's what so much of society is so nutrient deficient. They're not getting their micronutrients and they're overeating and that's why they continue craving all that. So I don't want you guys to go down a slippery slope, so to speak.
I love the idea of recognizing our humanity or recognizing our foibles and making choices. And so there's always ways to improve and still hang on to some of the things that just seem to give our lives meaning or something. Like with coffee, you can make it in alkaline water instead of acidic water. Now, you know, give it one extra healthy point. You can buy organic, you know, fair trade, click another point. You could do French press over beans that have been ground up too much. You could choose a medium roast or a dark roast. They seem to have more of the anthocyanin content. There's just ways that you'll learn to modify these things so they really become much less of the 20% allowance. And I think it makes perfect sense. Coffee drinkers should take extra minerals. Wine drinkers, the B complex. You know, there's things that you have where then you can live a free and healthy life and enjoy the heck out of that 80%.
Yep. Nicole, can you post a link to our multivitamin, please, to the whole daily multi? Many of you know we have our supplement. We have our supplement line out now and this whole daily, for those of you that drink coffee and wine and just life can be a lot with stress, especially this year of all years, that is customized to have higher amounts of minerals that due to what gets depleted because of stress, higher amounts of B vitamins, higher amounts of things that feed the thyroid and the adrenals and keep them balanced. And so if you haven't been taking a multivitamin since Gut Thrive, now would be a good time to consider doing that. Okay. All right. Well, Christy says, thank you so much for answering my OCD question. And I'm sorry I missed that answer. I almost cried at the hope you gave me. That's how Jack rolls. I'm only in week 5, so I'm even more excited for the rest of the program. Is there a reason why I get really tired and more OCD symptoms right before I start my period? Well, that is because of a drop in progesterone, which is our nice calming hormone there, and a hormonal imbalance. You're getting probably a pretty steep hormone drop around your period, maybe a spike in estrogen. Do you want to comment on that, Jack, about the symptoms increasing around PMS and period time?
If cramping is significant, then we know that the prostaglandins are rising with inflammatory and cramping result. And so we can then account for that. And then one of the things that can help is a good antioxidant and whole spectrum vitamin E. So just to be sure you don't get the wrong thing, vitamin E is labeled now with 8 fractions. You want all 4 tocotrienols, all 4 tocopherols, and you get a good vitamin E going, and it may help there with the cramping and the fatigue, right? Anytime inflammation processes go up, energy goes down because the inflammation process just absorbs so much of your energy, your ATP energy. So there's, we understand a number of pathways that could be in play. So as you get your GI tract worked out and get through the next 5 weeks, you should expect improvement in more areas. And then you can easily, more easily finish off if there's remnants of these symptoms after the gut is much more happy.
So you would add in fish oil then as on the reg or just during PMS?
Fish oil would be like fish or krill would be throughout. We could use a little dose of that daily. And I think more focused, we might want to look at the history of borage and evening primrose. If you prefer the DHA and the EPA, the fish oil would have it, and it certainly can function in that regard. And then there may be a little bit of the evening primrose or borage might rise right in there as the few days before menses starts to show the shift in things.
Great. Nicole, can you please post link to fish oil? And if we have one for borage or evening primrose oil. Also, I just kind of get the sense, Vanessa, that you can look into seed cycling if you're not going to add in a vitamin E, and look into seed cycling. Our dear friend and colleague, Magdalena Shilaki from hormonesbalance.com. I think she's got a free guide that'll teach you how to seed cycle to balance your hormones, to mitigate PMS and those types of symptoms.
Oh, that's the old flax seed and then switch it to sunflower seed and after ovulation. And yeah, there's a lot of ancient wisdom in the seeds that can do that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Vicky, I use 80-20 each time I eat all day. A splurge just means a little off center, not off the edge. Amen, sister. It's not a sacrifice. See, that's what it is. I don't consider the way I eat to be a sacrifice, so I do not usually feel deprived. And those of us that have been living this lifestyle for a while really get that. Those of us that are starting to live this lifestyle because of Gut Thrive, because you came here with a major gut issue, it's going to take some time to learn that 80 balance as you're transforming. And this will become your lifestyle. Like, I don't feel like if I were out to dinner and there's French fries and they're done in canola oil, I don't feel like, oh, I get to have a cheat. I'm like, ugh, I don't want that. That's a sacrifice for my health, right? But if they're done with organic potatoes, there's one place in town, and rice bran oil, then I look forward to having my French fries as a treat. So that's, it's once you get it within your being and it's a lifestyle, then we will really surf the 80-20 well. So just keep going. Okay, Jelena.
I'll bounce back to Vanessa, who popped in with a belated question about fruit and starchy vegetables in the same meal. So Krista's promoted concept of food combining where the fruit are going to digest quicker and starches will hold the fruit into the tummy and then they get the fermentation. So I think the answer is you want to start making something like that a rule of life. I think generally I find people benefit from, oh, let's just have some fruit in the afternoon, or I'm going to eat just fruit. And then maybe an hour later or whatever, go on in and have the rest of the food. There will be people that handle the two together. It is kind of an individual thing, but you're going to do better with your nutrition and your tummy to get a little separation with fruit, which will end up harming both protein and complex starch digestion. That's generally a good rule to learn how to incorporate.
Excellent. Great advice. Jelena's backing up on the 80-20. She's learning how to do it right. But after GT5, strong sugar cravings, does that mean I still have too much bad gut bacteria? Is it normal to have a sugary treat for sugary craving every now and then? Yes. And as you transition off of Gut Thrive, what I want you to do, it could be, because now you're cleaner, your inflammation set point is low, your genetic code of your gut microbiome is flipped, and we can start working more on the adrenals and on the thyroid, and maybe your cells, in order to rev cellular energy, you might need a little more sugar inside the cell. So just start with adding more roots and fruits to each meal, a tablespoon, you know, an addition to each meal. And then the second week, 2 tablespoons. The third week, 4 tablespoons extra. That will mitigate the sugar cravings. Make sure you have a root vegetable with lunch that will severely mitigate the sugar cravings. And if you still have them, let it be part of your 20%, but do it smarter. We've got the healthy chocolate avocado mousse, or you know, the cashew cake batter pudding, and all kinds of healthy recipes that give you a sweet treat. And it also might be with stress. This is a very stressful year, and sugar neutralizes adrenaline, right? And so we're just looking at it like a drug. And for some of us, that sugar is wine. And for some of us, that sugar is a straight up sugar. And so, but it's when it's that constant thing where you need something sweet after every meal, then hey, we probably should take a look at candida and make sure we got the candida back into balance. Okay. We got 7 minutes left and only one more question. So, hey, keep them coming. Kate, I have an HFE mutation that causes excess iron in my body. Can you give me dietary advice to manage it? I'm currently on Plan S week 4. I mean, what outside of dumping iron through donating blood, you know, 3 or 4 times a year, what's your recommendation, Jack?
Well, the HFE gene is associated often with hemochromatosis. And it means simply that the person has excessive iron uptake out of the gut. And one way to reduce that dietarily, in fact, the primary way is with tea. Tea is rich in something called tannic acid or tannins. Great. You can even buy supplements that are called plant tannins. I'm trying to think of probably one of the best supplement for plant tannins is called Carnagri. And it's an old Native American I don't know about that R in it, C-A-N-A-I-R-G-E or something. It's a funny word. They tried to use it as an American ginseng many, many years ago, but it's very, very rich in plant tannins. Now, the tannins are going to bind with iron and block them from as much absorption. So you may simply find 3 cups of, like Earl Grey tea, or I bet green tea on the more positive tea side, and even decaffeinated teas are going to provide plant tannins. So wherever your sensitivities are, organic tea as a big part of diet, I'm thinking 3 cups a day, maybe a cup before each meal, you might find a decrease in the iron that's showing up. And I think often I tell people, be careful about eating, you know, too much red meat or foods that are really high in iron. But if you could get some tea control over that would be a blessing and less worry.
Yeah. Great. That's great. I never knew that with tea. Awesome. Aaron, until I find grass-fed liver, can I take the TWJ liver caps? Yes. If so, how many per day and in what doses? They're Radiant Life. They're not ours, but they're super high quality. And I would take 2 with breakfast and 1 with lunch. And you can just go through 1 bottle's worth. I don't think that's, you know, something that you need to stay on. It's just to give you some cellular energy, thyroid, and liver support. Marcy, I'm sure a lot of people have this. I'm glad we're having a lot of 80-20 conversation today. With the 80-20 balance, my friend group meets up often and they don't eat healthy at all. Is there a way I could eat with them without killing all my progress?
Take a packed lunch.
Well, I mean, to your point, I have some friends who we also have different lifestyles, and I always eat a snack before. Like last night we went to dinner at someone's house and I just mixed, you know, some coconut yogurt with collagen and I had a cutie just so I had something and I wasn't starving and I wouldn't make poor choices. So you don't go right for the bread or something like that. And so, yeah, I would eat a little something before so you don't show up starving and you make the best choices that you can. I mean, in terms of blood sugar, if you're going to have wine, I would wait or order a protein-based appetizer and have it with that. Don't eat any farmed fish, you know, wild fish. Just make you're educated now with Gutthrub to make the better choices. And you know that saying, a rising tide floats all boats. And sometimes you have to be the leader, and it makes others feel uncomfortable that you're not eating what they're eating, but you just have a hard and fast rule. Like I really don't eat hard sugar. I don't like it. I don't crave it. And I was just at a little family reunion with my boyfriend, and they have dinner dessert every night. And I just said, maybe I'll have one bite so I can taste it and compliment your cooking, but it's just not something I'm willing to do for my body. Right. So you have to kind of make your choices and stand your ground and still have fun. Okay. Christy, and we're going to answer Kate's, and then, okay, so to back up, can I go back to drinking black decaf tea? I stopped it for the plan. Sure, yeah, as long as it's naturally decaffeinated, I don't see a problem with that. Do you, Jack?
Not at all.
Okay. All right, Christy, I was told I need to have a cavity filled, and it may lead to a root canal. Okay, you're the one who turned me on to the root canal cover-up, by the way. I've read that root canals can actually lead to inflammation in the body since you cannot totally clean the tooth. Do you have any thoughts or resources to look at? I know you have a lot to say about this.
Well, I would just say keep that tooth alive and don't do the root canal. And if it is going to be a dead tooth, you ought to talk to a biological dentist who would hook up a bridge where you don't put that stainless steel post down in the jawbone. So your biological dentist will know and have solutions for you. But I would say right now, let's see about getting that cavity filled and not needing any further happening there. And then with the cavity, we want to look at the oral microbiome, because that will upset your work with Gut Thrive if you get 6 months down the road from now and you have pathogenic bacteria in your mouth. So I don't know, since I came up with the concept of aloe vera, I'll be a broken record. You can swish aloe vera juice around your mouth and replenish the proper oral microbiome. You can get prebiotic toothpaste. There's a number on the market that support the oral microbiome. And let's get you focused on your teeth so you never, ever, ever have to go back for a cavity again. And so you know what can cause it is sugar, or, you know, even eating like dates or dried fruit. It can be a deterrent if you don't get the teeth brushed pretty quickly thereafter. So let's focus on oral hygiene a little bit. It's a perfect thing to do with the Gut Thrive and get the good bacteria working for you, and they'll keep the cavity forming bacteria out of the way.
Excellent. So Nicole posted here a link to the root canal cover up. And since we're wrapping up, Christy, Nicole, can you make a note in the follow-up email to include the links to our oil pulling show and to the show that we did with Oral Wellness? These people are amazing with the oral microbiome, and they're using an MI paste, and they're also using Shine, like a bovine bone powder, to remineralize the teeth. So I think, you know, with Jack's recommendations and going through that, you'll have really good ammunition to protect your oral health. And we'll include that those links in the follow-up email. All right. So I'm grateful that you guys were here. It was so nice to spend an hour with you. Thank you so much. I love seeing this from Jelena. Thank you so much for your GT5 program. It's been a godsend. It has taken away constant scalp pain I had due to scarring alopecia. I'm grateful for you and your program. God bless. God bless you all. And I know, Erin, to your point, it takes courage to live a countercultural lifestyle and to stand up for what you believe is right and to ask the questions and not be the annoying person when you go out to eat. Maybe you want to make a phone call to the restaurant before you go. I've done that before because I don't want to be that person and kind of make my choices. So let's wish Jack a very, very happy birthday. What's the actual date, Jack?
It's on the 19th.
The 19th. Okay. Well, you changed so many lives for the better. You deserve to be celebrated to the moon and back. And I hope that happens. And I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for everything. Thanks for being here with us, guys. We'll see you in the next quarterly webinar. And I'll let you know how my cleanse goes. And since Jack's going to cleanse after his big day, we'll talk about that next time. Okay. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Nicole, for everything. All righty. Bye.